name's Emma.
Mine's Janet.
Okay, nice to meet you, Janet.
Nice to meet you.
So basically what I'm going to be doing is I'm just going to be asking you, like, questions that are, like, growing up, like, they're categories.
Okay.
And, like, there's 3 to 4 in each category.
Okay.
So, you can feel free to tell us as much or as little information as you'd like. I don't want to sound like I'm a robot because she's asking us to read, like, all these questions.
You don't have to read that. I did it last year.
Oh. Then could you tell us your name and how to spell it?
Janet Nightingale, and it's J-A-N-E-T, and my last name is Nightingale, just like Florence and the bird. Did you know there was a bird named Nightingale?
I think I did.
Anyway, it's N-I-G-H-T-I-N-G-A-L-E.
When and where were you born?
Massachusetts in 1943.
That's a long way away.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about your family?
I'm an only child. No, it's not either, because I had gobs and gobs of cousins, and we all live fairly close together. And at one time, or more than one time, we lived with my grandparents, because my mother was sick a lot. So anyway, even though I lived in the same town, almost every year I went to a different school, sometimes two years in one school, because there were so many people, you know, children in the area, that they'd have to go ship us to this school, that school. For instance, when I was in high school, you had to be in 10th grade to get in high school.
That's silly.
Because there was enough room. So at one point, even though I lived in the same house or same apartment, we lived in apartments, is because they had two big schools, okay, grammar schools.
Yeah.
And so in second grade, I was in this one. In third grade, because there was so many, there was this old building near where I lived that it looked like a town hall. That's where we had third grade. And then in fourth grade, we were up at that other school, even though it was next to the one. In fifth grade, I had to take, you know, it was a different one.
Oh, wow.
So
that's a lot of shipping.
Well, yeah, but most of the time we walked.
Oh.
Only 2 years did I ever ride a bus.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it was interesting. And
yeah. How would you describe yourself as a child, and what are your hobbies or interests you have?
As a child. Well, because I had lived around a bunch of relatives, you know, I was just active. And, of course, you know, I was in Brownies and Girl Scouts and went to those camps.
Yeah.
When I was in Girl Scout camp in the, I want to say the 8th or 9th grade, I taught archery.
Ooh, that's cool.
So that was fun. And just recently, I went and the bows and arrows now have sights on them, so they're entirely different than, you know,
like,
we just had the, yeah, right.
Have, like, it's harder to shoot.
Yes, yes.
I was actually a Brownie and a Girl Scout.
Good.
But I disliked my troop, so I said, I'm done. I don't like this anymore, because they weren't very nice to me, in my opinion.
Well, that wasn't very nice. I was a leader.
Oh.
So when we lived, well, and that was after I moved to Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So.
What year were you in sixth grade, and what was it like, and how could you describe your experience with school?
Well, let me see. Where was I on sixth grade? That's one of the ones where I was up, whatever. I met lots of different people, and, you know, I mean, in sixth grade, it was just, you know, we had one teacher. We didn't, you know, like you guys rotate, you know, to different classes and stuff. We didn't do that. You just were in one thing. But because of that, when I was in sixth grade, one of my best friends still is somebody I met in sixth grade.
Oh, wow. That's super cool.
So,
did you continue going to high school? Did you continue going to school after high school?
Yes and no. When I moved to Michigan, so I did not do it right after high school, okay?
Yeah.
My husband was in ROTC, which is in college, and so when he graduated, we went to Georgia, and then we went to Germany for 3 years.
You were just a travel bug.
Yes, and so I helped out at a nursery school when I was in Germany. You know, I was an aide to three classes. And then I also taught Sunday school, non-denominational school. So when I came here and I started working part-time, well, first off, I got a beautician's license. So I worked in a beauty shop.
Oh.
Well, then, and we lived in Ann Arbor. So then we moved to Saline, and it was a little bitty town, you know, back then. It was a little bitty town. And so the people that go to the beauty shops, it's the same people, you know, every week, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm an outsider because besides I didn't come from Saline, I also didn't come from the state. So when I would see these people on the outside, you know, at school functions, they would think that, you know, because they tell you everything. I mean, you know, when you see these stories about the people tell the bartender everything and they tell the beautician everything, you know, like so-and-so's having an affair or, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they think you're going to spread that gossip.
Yes.
So I quit there. So then I ended up, for a while, I was the manager of an ice cream sandwich shop on State Street.
That sounds so good.
And that was fun. And we went to health food conventions in Las Vegas and Chicago. And then after that, because her son wanted to take over when he graduated, so then after that, I ended up getting a job at a bank in Ann Arbor, and I worked in the background, you know, like, hello. Anyway, we're in the balancing area, you know, installment loans, mortgages, commercial, that kind of thing. And I didn't balance my checkbook after that because I was balancing over $1 million a year, a month, a day, actually, you know. Anyway, so then after that, the bank got sold, and they told myself and two other ladies we retired. So then I got a job at the University of Michigan Business School.
Oh, wow.
And I worked there for 20 years. So, but when I was at the bank, they actually sent us out to some word processing classes at Washtenaw Community College. And before I started that, because I was 40, there was a women's group, it might still be around, that they sent you to school. So I went to Jackson Community College, and I took classes. So I don't have a degree, but I had classes from different places. And that was fun.
Like a bunch of classes that you were just like.
Right.
You never sit still, I guess.
No.
Well, I was with a partner, but then, like, I raised my hand to say, like, I can do it by myself.
Okay.
She wanted to ask, do you have any tattoos? If so, what do they mean?
No. No, I do not have tattoos. And I rode motorcycles. I rode Harley Davidsons for years. And I do.
My mom, she won't let me get a tattoo if I'm under her payroll. Because she says those things are yucky ducky.
My daughter, okay. My youngest daughter, now I'm talking 60 here, okay? She just got a little tattoo, I understand, on her ring finger or something. My other daughter got one when she was in college, because I told them they couldn't do it while they were in school. You know, they graduate from school, you know, you do what you want, because they always worked. You know, they had to earn their own money.
Yeah.
And so anyway, and she has, and it's a something, I want to say it's a little something around her ankle.
that's like a bracelet type thing?
I don't know. I can't even tell you what it looks like. Oh, and then she does have something here, I understand. But it must be covered with clothes all the time because I don't know what it is. But, you know, when you reach a certain age, you know, after you graduate from high school, then, you know, you should be able to make some decisions on your own.
Yeah. Can you describe technology you used or knew about growing up that our generation wouldn't know?
We didn't have any. So, I actually have pictures here. Okay. This is an outhouse. Now, this is a lousy picture, okay?
Yeah.
But when I lived at my grandmother's, my uncle lived in the back, okay? You know, I mean, he had his own property and everything.
Yeah.
But he built the house. So he originally didn't have a bathroom. So he had an outhouse that had two doors.
Yeah.
Because the aunt lived there. So one of the things was for auntie, and the other one was for the rest of the family. So when I used to go over, you know, because I'd go from my grandmother's over there and whatever, and sometimes you'd have to, you know, go potty. But anyway, so there were still outhouses around.
Yeah.
This is what we had on top of our television.
Is that like a signal disc?
It's antennas. We didn't have cable, we didn't have any of that stuff. But this is what we had on top of our TV.
I think my great-grandma had that.
And some of them, so I know a woman right now that still has, well, they call them bunny ears. And she still has that. Okay, this is also the type of phone we had, they're always black though, was a dial phone.
Yeah.
Okay, but we also had party lines. So if you'd pick up the phone to call someone, someone else would be talking, and you'd have to wait for them to finish. But before that, you used to pick up the phone and tell the operator who you wanted to call.
Oh.
And then they called them and then, you know, brought it in. This is a water closet. This is actually in a water closet. It's in a closet, okay? When I was young, we actually lived one place. It was a closet. You walked up a stair. The toilet was there. This is up here because the water was here. So when you pulled it, the water came down and flushed the toilet.
Oh. So, that's way different from now what we have.
Right. Right. And so anyway, but my grandmother had a color TV when I was young, because she must have had money. Our TV was, you know, like 12 inches, black and white.
Probably like this size?
Yeah, about that size, black and white. And they only had three stations.
Oh, jeez.
And they went off, I think the last one at night, went off at like midnight maybe. And then what comes on, you know, every once in a while when your TV will go out, you know, like because of the weather and stuff, and it has all those colors and everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened when the TV stations ended at midnight or 11, I think it was midnight, and all these colors would come across.
Oh, geez.
So, and I don't remember what time it came on in the morning, like maybe 6 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't have, you know, I mean, you didn't have phone. You might have a wall phone. And I can remember one time I went to Chicago. Now, this is when, 19, maybe late 70s, early 80s. And so I had to call my cousin when I got there. And they had, you know, phone on the wall. And it cost a whole nickel to call out.
Well, that doesn't sound like it's that much, but it's probably that much back then.
Yeah, yeah. But it was still cheaper there than it was where I lived.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so in like pop, like, you know, if you got out of a machine, it was 10 cents for a bottle.
And so that's so much cheaper than what we have now.
Yeah, and so this friend of mine and I, when we lived, you know, in the apartment, because people throw their pennies away, and when we get 10 pennies, we go down and we get a bottle of pop and share it.
Oh,
people don't share things now anymore, you know.
Yeah.
They're afraid of germs, you know. I mean, when I was young.
I only share with my parents just because, I'm my closest friend. Because, we're best friends. We've known each other since we were, 3. And, our families are super duper close. That's the only reason why we share.
Yeah.
One, and when I was young and lived at my grandmother's, my aunt and uncle and stuff had a big vegetable garden. And so they had three kids. Well, the oldest one didn't play with us because she was 2 years older. But anyway, the three of us would go out, play all day. And if we were hungry, we'd go to the garden and we'd pull out a carrot or a rhubarb, wipe it on our clothes and eat it. You know, you didn't worry about washing everything and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, and there were... So...
What are your thoughts about how much technology is used in today's world?
It depends on what it's used for. As far as I'm concerned, too many people use their phones too much.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, I still have a flip phone. You know, one that...
Yeah.
Okay.
My great aunt has one, too.
And the reason that I have that is I don't like fingerprints. So when you're doing all this stuff, you're putting fingerprints on it, right?
Yeah.
Even in the car, like your car has a, you know,
a
screen, whatever,
yeah.
And you have to poke it to do certain things.
Yeah.
And so I'm always wiping it off.
Yeah.
Because it drives me crazy. But I do not always, I have my cell phone today. It's in the car. Because I don't take it in any place. I try and remember if I'm going on a trip, I take it with me, you know, just in case.
Yeah.
But
like just in case and I'm a
yeah.
Phone
but lots of times I leave the house and the only reason I don't have it with me is because it'll say connect phone on the screen. And I say, yeah, whatever. But I'm not one of these people that is looking at it all the time.
Yeah.
I could care less. Matter of fact, on my email, because I have a computer, a desktop, okay? And so if somebody sends me an email, like about this today, this friend of mine, I was talking to her yesterday, and she said, oh, there's an email down there. I had to go down and check it, because I check my email like, once a week maybe. Or I do look up things and do things, because I worked on a computer for 20 years. So, you know, I'm not addicted to any of that, you know.
Yeah.
And as far as hobbies, I knit, I crochet, I read, I cook.
There's so many people in sixth grade that just are like...
Right.
And it's like, there's no point. Like, I only have my phone because if, like, I bring it on the bus, if I need, like, it's an emergency. Like, I need to call my parents.
Right.
Because me and my brother aren't feeling well. Or, like, something's going wrong through the day. Or, like, I need to call, like, a family member. That's the only reason I carry it.
See, when I was young, if you didn't feel well, you went to the school nurse and they called.
Yeah, but, like, that's still what we do, but, like, on the bus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We sang on the bus.
We used to. Our bus driver doesn't let us do that.
No, what the whole bus. The boys would usually start, and there was a. Do you know who Davy Crockett is?
No.
Okay, Davy Crockett's an old-time cowboy. All right, and there was a song about him, and so, and as on the bus, and so, you know, say boys would start singing whatever the song was, and then we'd add a verse to it. Not always nice, but you know, whatever. And so, you know, we had fun like that.
Yeah.
And we used to walk to school. You had to walk. If you lived within a mile of the school, you had to walk.
Oh.
So we walked to school. You know?
Yeah. If you could relive one moment, what would it be?
When I was sixth grade? Or when I was your age or whatever?
Whenever you want. Like, any moment in history.
I've done a lot of things.
Like, what was, like, your most favorite moment? Or, like, which is, like, the moment you remember the most? Like, marrying your husband or meeting him for the first time or doing something like that?
Well, it's hard to tell because...
We've had so many great...
Yes, I... Now, the husband that just passed away, I met him in 2010. He had ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, which is a muscular disease. Anyway, And so I met him because I had gone to, there's a German park, there's a German club in Ann Arbor, but they have a park. And they only open it to the public the last Saturday of June, July, and August. And so I went over there, you know, drove over there, whatever. And they had us parking in this field. Well, the field had been actually planted, you know. It had not, it wasn't really hard. It started to rain. And so there was, it happened to be one fellow, which ended up being my husband, with two of his friends, and they took turns driving, and the one that drove this time had his tow truck. And so I had to go over to the tow truck and ask, you know, to be towed out, and so that's when I met him.
Oh, that's a cute story.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Do you remember any special meals or foods your family cooked when you were growing up?
Special. Well, I can tell you that when I was a child, do you know what plum pudding is?
Is it like?
It's not really plums.
Oh.
It's a spice. It's a spice thing. It's a dessert.
Oh.
And my grandmother used to make it all the time. And you make it in a can, you know, like a big coffee can or whatever, and you put it in a tub of water and steam it for hours. And then you make this hard sauce, which basically is butter and confectionery sugar, sweet as anything. And you serve it warm. And my grandmother made that every year at Thanksgiving and Christmas. It was really good, really good. But as far as a meal, my dad was a cook, so,
yeah,
you know.
You don't have to say, you don't have to share for this one, but if you don't want to, but what was the time that you felt most lonely?
Most what?
Lonely.
I don't get lonely.
Really?
No.
Because, like, sometimes I feel like at lunch, sometimes I feel like, wow, I feel kind of lonely today.
Really? Why?
Just because, like, it's harder for me to make friends.
Well, I was shy when I was young.
Well, like, I'm a mix of shy and, like, people some don't really like me very much.
Why not?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. You would have to ask all of them. I just don't think they like me very much, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go sit over here.
Well, you know what you have to do? You just have to like yourself. For instance, people will say, you know, like a neighbor of mine, okay? Her daughter lives there, you know, for a while. And I went up over Thanksgiving, and she was out walking. And there's a big family, okay? So I just went up to say hello. And she said to me, she says, well, my mother won't have time to talk to you because she's busy. And I looked at her and I said, I didn't come to see your mother. I came to say hello to everybody else. Okay, so now I go up and I'm talking to the mother and I told her what the daughter said. All right, now this is Thanksgiving. So yesterday I went up there to visit and she said to me, because I was away for with the seniors, we went on a trip to Pennsylvania, okay? So I was up there and my friend says, her daughter thought I was mad at her because I hadn't been up there for a week, okay? Well, that's because I wasn't around. And the daughter thought I was mad at her because she had said that, you know, I shouldn't talk, spend, blah, 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 and the mother was busy and all that crap. And the mother, and I started laughing, and the mother says, she just told the daughter, who's, you know, like late 40s or whatever, she knows I'm busy all the time. This woman, when I go up there, we have tea, I have tea, she has coffee, we're sitting talking, and she sees a bug on the baseboard. She gets up, next thing you know, she's cleaning the baseboard. I was up there, she saw a spot on the window. Next thing I know, she's cleaning the window and whatever. And I keep telling her, you're not making me feel guilty, you know. I have a cleaning person that comes into the house. I would rather be knitting, crocheting, reading. I'm not a TV person. I do turn it on, you know, a little bit. Yeah, you know, and I was telling somebody today, or a friend of mine called, and she was worried about something. I said, you know, you have to like yourself And don't worry about the other people. You know, if somebody, you know, says something, whatever, and of course I'm not shy anymore, but I used to be shy, but I still would say things, you know, in school. I'd still make comments or whatever. But yeah, you worry about you and don't worry about them, because if they've got a problem, it's not your problem, it's their problem.
Yeah. Who's been your biggest inspiration in your life and why?
My grandmother.
Why has she been your biggest inspiration?
Well, let's see. We lived with her for once in a while. I mean, in kindergarten, when I was 4 and 5, we lived with her. When I was in 7th and 8th grade, lived with her. And she was always, if I had a question about English, you know, whatever, then she always helped me. She actually had gone to, and they used to call it normal school, which was the precursor to a community college, way back.
Yeah.
Way back. And, you know, she was always just real nice. But she was, you know what a matriarch is?
Like the wisest and oldest and like the leader.
Yeah. Well, and that's what she was. She never drove on Sundays. Well, that was when my grandpa was alive. They would go for a Sunday drive. She never went to a store. My mother or my aunt would go to the store, and they would get her 2 or 3 pairs of shoes and bring them home, and she'd try them on, pick what she wanted, and then they'd take the other ones back. The same with dresses, everything. They'd bring some, and she'd try on, and they'd take the other ones back and pay for it.
That's cool. What is a tradition that you have passed down in your family?
Not to be bored. When my kids were young, and they'd say, I'm bored. And I'd say, oh, well, how's about doing this, 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 this? And, you know, I don't like that word. You know, like, for instance, okay, lonely. I'm not lonely. Okay, I can sit and have nothing to do, and I see a butterfly out there, and I sit and I watch the butterfly until it disappears. Yesterday, there was I have bird feeders outside, okay? And you know what, the suet ones in the little cages?
Like the mushy ones?
Yeah. Well, there's a metal cage that has, yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I have some. And the woodpeckers like them, you know, little woodpeckers.
Yeah.
And I happened to be in the kitchen yesterday and went, whoa, there was a woodpecker that long.
That is a long
on that
woodpecker.
Thing. And bright red head, it was the man. And he was sitting on the top and had to reach down, like, you know, with upside down to get into it. And that's the first time I've seen. So I watched him until he flew away.
That's cool.
So I just, you know, I don't know. I've never been lonely.
Can you think of a holiday that you collaborated? Okay, I can't read this, but can you think of a holiday that you've celebrated in a unique or a special way? This could be a memory from your childhood, middle age, or now.
Well, there's lots of them. When I was young, everybody went to grandma's house for Christmas, and you gave kids, okay. Then, when we were in the military, you celebrated with other families that you met. Here in Michigan, we always went to my daughter's. She lived in Ypsilanti, and celebrated over there because her husband had had 2 boys and they had children, okay? The boys are losers, okay, but the grandkids, you know, and so they would be there, and then this friend of mine, I'd always take her. Even though her son lives in Michigan, I'd take her over, and then you know, there'd always be several people there.
Yeah.
So those were always fun. Now they live up north, so
that's hard.
They sold their place.
Well, I'm out of questions, but we can just make up some questions.
Well, you can make up a question.
What is like the saddest or happiest moment in your life?
Saddest. I think my sad ones are all fairly equal, you know, like when my parents died and, you know, that kind of thing. Happiest? Probably when I'm traveling. I like to travel. You know, my neighbor and I went on a river cruise, and it went from Budapest to Prague in Germany. And every night, every day you went to a different country, and at night the boat went down. Well, actually we went up the river.
Probably kind of hard.
And they went, you know, through locks going up. And a couple of times they went through the you know, during the day, but most of them were at night. And the funny thing about that, of course, you know, you're on a lower level and they put it in and the water raises up and then you go out, okay? Well, when I was sleeping, I could actually feel the water raising. I mean, I'd be asleep and I felt like I was floating.
That'd be creepy.
So, but it was, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've been like Spain and Portugal. This one friend of mine went over there. One time, my daughter and a friend of hers, the friend spoke fluent French. She used to, she was over there during college for a semester. You can go, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so she was there. So I was talking to my daughter's friend, and I said, oh, something about Ireland. She said, my mom's going. So there was an Irish club out of Ohio. So I went with them to Ireland for a thing. Didn't know anybody. Didn't make any difference to me, you know. Had a wonderful time. And, you know, I've been to, and of course I lived in Germany, so we went, you know, to Holland or the Netherlands and Liechtenstein, and we skied in Switzerland and, you know, went to Austria and, you know. So, and then since I joined the senior club, you know, I go on trips with them all the time. We just got back from Pennsylvania, and I know you've probably heard of Hershey. You know Hershey, the candy?
Yeah, those are so good, especially the cookies and cream one.
Well, anyway, we went on a tour. That was one of our tours that we went on.
That must have been.
And what they did, because we had two buses full of people, and a man got on, and then he told the bus which way to go and whatever. And Hershey actually owns like lots of property up there. But when he first was there, he actually founded a school for troubled boys. And so it's still in existence.
What do you mean by troubled boys?
Well, you know, kids that get in trouble, like he said that actually the driver or the guy that was telling us, he actually flunked fourth grade twice and his grandmother put him in the school. And he said if he hadn't been in that school, he wouldn't have got a, you know, engineering degree or whatever he had. And, you know, because they mentor the individual child. Like when you're in public school, there's lots of kids.
Yeah.
And this is this small, it's not like gobs of kids. There were only like maybe four kids, and each house had a, you know, parent in it, you know. But these kids had to learn a trade, you know, while they're in the school, and, you know, and they every year they're still building a house. And I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
But then we went on, they actually had, have you ever been to Disney World?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, when you're on like a roller coaster and you have all those things flying around and all that good stuff?
Yeah.
Well, they actually, Hershey has a theater that you go in, and it goes, and you have these buttons on your seats. And so when the film comes up, there's this, you know, cartoon, and she says, tells you about it, and then she says, now we're going to vote. And it's a train. So you feel like you're going on the train, right? and it comes up to this intersection, and there's two signs, and it says, do you want to see the Jolly Rancher, or do you want to see the Percy Bar? So you push buttons. Everybody in the place is pushing a button, and whoever wins the most, the train goes in that direction.
That's super cool.
And so then, when it comes to Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, there's a man with an umbrella, like Mary Poppins. And he's up in the air, and he says, well, follow me. Well, now you're actually flying. I mean, you feel like you're flying, and you go into, you know, this whole area, and it's all buildings and stuff, but it's all peanut butter stuff, you know?
Wow.
And so then, you know, that was fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, we saw the Amish community, and, you know, so we saw lots of things when we were there. But
what is your favorite cookie type?
Well, I really don't like store-bought, so I like molasses cookies, which I make myself.
Because we're going to make some cookies today.
Oh, we are? You are?
Well, like both of us, we're going to decorate cookies today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But usually, as a matter of fact, when I was back, my other daughter lives in Pennsylvania, and my grandson got married, and this man that lives in the house across from my daughter likes to cook. So he made shortbread cookies.
Are those good?
Well, his are, yes. They're a drier cookie.
Oh.
You know, you have to, yeah. You know, like Girl Scout cookies, the ones that are shaped like a star, whatever. Those are shortbread cookies.
Oh.
But anyway, so he gave me the recipe, but his recipe, you have to make, it's got like butter, and what he does is he creates his own, and he decorates them and stuff, and they're not real hard like those, they're thicker, and so when you bite into them, you know, this kind of, they melt in your mouth, is that much of what they do.
Yeah.
Really good. So it depends. Like this one fellow that I knew, he used to make cornflake cookies with pecans on it at Christmas. Those are really good.
Yeah.
You know, and I make, I make all kinds. I make now when I want a cookie, I make a batch, and then I only eat two a day. Because otherwise, the ones, every once in a while I'll buy a cookie, you know, an individual cookie someplace. And those are always, you know, soft and whatever. But I was told years ago, this was at the health food conventions, that they put some kind of, some preservative in them to keep them moist. Because most cookies, when you make cookies at home, they're almost always hard.
Yeah.
Which I like that. I like crunchy.
I like the both soft and hard.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be like the mix of soft, hard.
Well,
and
this recipe that he made for the shortbread there, that's what they are. They're really good. And it makes gobs. But I always put, even when I make, like I make muffins most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, because I like, and I always put a portion of whole wheat flour in it, because the white flour, it's just, it doesn't have a whole lot of taste to me. So I always add whole wheat. Yeah, I add nuts and, you know, dried strawberries and cranberries and, you know, whatever. So, anyway, so where do you live?
I live in, like, Chelsea Grass Lake area.
Okay,
so
where?
Like, over here.
My address is Grass Lake. I don't live near Grass Lake, so.
Well, that's, like, how it is. Like,
okay.
Over here, let's say this, our road is, like, right here.
What's the name of it?
It's, so, here's the thing. So, there's the road named Loveland that separates Chelsea and Grass Lake.
Right.
Then we turn this way into Grass Lake, so our address is Grass Lake. But over here we have this nice big lake that's also considered Grass Lake. So, it's like, you turn Grass Lake, but we say we live in Chelsea, because if we just were living on this side and there's the big lake, we would live in Chelsea. So we just say we live in Chelsea.
Okay. Well, so I have a Grass Lake address, and I live near Stockbridge. So I live 10 miles north on this 52.
That's...
It's a long way from Grass Lake.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the same thing with our house. But, like, it's close enough that we could go to, like, a Grass Lake grocery store.
Do they still have grocery stores in Grass Lake?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it takes, like, 20 minutes to get to Chelsea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I take you ride the bus every day, then?
No. Like, I sometimes ride the bus home, but then, like, in the morning, my parents drive me to school.
Okay. Because they're going to work?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that makes sense.
Or my dad. My dad works sometimes from, like, home. And so, like, I'm trying to think how to put it. So, like, he'll be working in my parents' room, just, like, doing his normal work stuff. And then he'll, like, come get us from the bus, or my mom will get us from the bus. And that's just, like, how we work.
So how old is your brother?
My brother is 7.
Okay, so he's a young person.
He's 4 years.
Okay.
He's 4 years younger than me.
Okay, so how long have you lived in that house?
I don't know, because, like...
I assume you didn't live there when you were real young.
Actually, so we lived in Lathir Village till I was like probably 3 or 4.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we were like remodeling my house that I live in now.
Okay.
So my dad was at a class reunion, and my mom was like, okay, I'm not feeling well. And this is before I was born. She was pregnant with me. And she was like, I'm not feeling too good. I think I'm gonna go home. And then that's when it hit. She called my dad, and it was like immediate. And then, like, she couldn't wait to get to, like, an Ann Arbor hospital. And I was supposed to be born in October. This was August.
Okay.
Yeah. So she went into Chelsea Hospital just over there.
Right.
And that's where I was born. And then my brother, she was able to make it St. Jude.
St. Jude.
Yeah. But my brother was born like a day earlier, a day late or something like that. But like he wasn't like 2 months early. And then on top of that, I probably spent like the first 2 weeks of my life in NICU.
Right.
Because I was born early.
You were a little small.
Yeah, I was probably like, my dad has like probably that much longer of an arm than I do. And my head was up to here. So I was like that long.
Little bitty person.
Yeah. So I had like 2 surgeries in my belly button, like on my stomach, because I was like I couldn't eat.
Mm-hmm, right.
So when I was a baby and I got formula, it would go up, not stay
okay.
down.
Yeah.
So that was a long process.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to finish the questions in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Before this thing turns off. Could you tell us a decision that made you change your life?
Yeah, when I got married a second time.
Yeah. How would you like to be remembered?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, we got like...
Friendly.
Yeah. Okay. Our final question that we will ask you is, what is something that you would wish you would know when you were our age that could be helpful to know now?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoyed my life. I mean, I always had a good time, and I had mentors, you know, like my aunt used to take us to church, and just, you know, I enjoyed life. I still enjoy life. Even with my ex-husband, I enjoyed life. Because, you know, we lived in Germany and stuff, and had two kids, and...
Well, thank you so much for...